Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, everybody, and especially you, and welcome to New Life Live. Somebody's crunching over there on the other side of the studio. Tuesday of Holy Week, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard have joined me here. Now, if you remember, Dave, you're still crunching. If you remember, on this day, this is Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus confronted the authorities, and he had to defend his claim to being Messiah. You know, later, he doesn't defend. He doesn't respond, which is so interesting. But, you know, the occasion for all these questions was his violent action the previous day. And that was when, remember what he did? Anybody remember what he did?
Threw over the money changers.
Yeah, he did. You people are just out for money. You don't deserve to be here. You're making a mockery of this sacred place. And, boy, they didn't like that. So the day ends with Jesus pronouncing a curse on the city, and then he explains a cursed fig tree, and in Matthew 2. So, boy, the disciples had all sorts of questions for him, and they didn't really understand much of the answers. But Tuesday of Holy Week, his authority was challenged. He taught stories. He confronted the Jewish leaders. And he delivers what's called the Olivet Discourse. All of that on Tuesday. Now, contrast that with this grand entry where people are talking about and praising him and palm fronds and all that. And boy, how quickly everybody turned. And that's what we do in our own lives on a daily basis if we're not grounded in truth and in healthy, redemptive relationship. And that's what we want to see for every person. So get to some kind of service this week and just tell God, you know, Lord, maybe I'm not where I ought to be. Help me just get to a better place. Dave, go ahead.
Well, I think part of the why everything changed was that When he rode in on the donkey, it was like a victor coming to challenge the Romans. And when he didn't challenge the Romans, then they were disappointed and turned against him.
They sure did. Well, I hope and pray that this will be a time of restoration and redemption for all of you. We have restoration Bibles. We have life recovery Bibles for you, every man's Bibles. We've got great Bibles to help you study God's truth and get deeply into the wisdom of the Lord. Let's go to, I believe it's Lila or Lila from Nashville, Tennessee, Sirius XM. How do you pronounce your name? I'm so sorry. I mispronounced it, most
Layla.
Likely. Layla. Hi.
Layla.
Sorry.
Hi. Can you guys?
Hi.
No, not a problem at all. So glad to talk to you guys.
How can we help?
I have a question. Something jarred me this week in a conversation I had with a friend of mine who has known me and my husband for about 15 years now. So she's watched our relationship. And it was first time marriage for me, second for him. And beginning of our marriage was, you know, blissful. And I remember distinctly a shift happening very early on. When conflict came up, he got pretty explosive, verbally. And I was in shock. And just since then, I've learned to really taper my conversations with him. And it's just been learned behavior. You know, I walk on eggshells, really, you know, around him. And,
well, okay, hold on. We'll get to the bottom of this after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and Layla married a person, ate some wedding cake, and the effects of eating the wedding cake didn't come soon. And so now the question, I think, is what with us? Because you were shocked when he was in certain ways that you hadn't anticipated. What is the question now for us?
Well, the question is, it relates to a statement my friend made.
What did your friend say? What did she say?
She said that this is very much akin to emotional abuse. And I was stunned. I've never thought of this normal for me now as emotional abuse, because, you know, I'm thinking it's just a character flaw, you know, that's just the way he is. I mean, he is a great person. He's the person
wait a second. Now, emotionally abusive people are not great people. So let's try to figure out if he's a great person or not, okay? So rather than minimize this, which I would if I were you, it's what we do, can you think of perhaps the most negative or critical or damaging thing that, let's start with this, that your friend might be aware that your husband has said or done to you? Why would she say this is emotional abuse?
The way, I mean, she's watched me recoil around him. I am not myself when I'm with him. Everything I can in my power to get away from him, I do. That means staying up really late, waiting until he goes to bed.
Let's stop right there. I don't know of many people that would wait to go to bed when it's trying to avoid a great person. What is great about a man that's so abusive you don't even want to go to sleep at the same time? Why do you say this is a great man?
I mean, just the person he portrays himself to be, and what I've found lately is that it's hard for me to watch him interact with other people because he's fantastic with other people.
Right.
You know, and I'm looking, at, you know, at this great package that he's able to present to other people.
So he's a great actor.
Yeah,
he's a great actor.
That's what I was going to say, Steve.
Yeah, great actor. Well, you know, that's nice if you're in a local play, but that's pretty crummy when you're kind of living out a horror movie.
So he has some good qualities that he can enact when he wants to. But there's a huge disconnect here, because who he portrays to the world, he doesn't bring home. Right?
Yeah.
So you get to see the other side. And that's often what we don't see prior to marriage. We see all the stuff that attracts us. And then as someone trusts us more, we get to see the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what's the question for us?
Well, you've essentially answered one part of the question, you know, is this emotional abuse? And then two, you know, what, I mean, how do I posture myself mentally? This is a person who will not go to counseling. He is not reasonable. You know, I can't sit down and talk with him and say, you know, you've hurt me this kind of way. It is always belittled or dismissed. Or, you know, there you go, being fragile again, emotional again.
And then the answer, okay, now there's a comeback to that, you know. There you go again, being fragile. Then a natural response to be, you know, I would expect that you'd say that. Because, you know, it really isn't me being fragile. It's just me hurting. Not really something that you've ever asked me about. You've tried to discount it. I suspect it's because you've got so much pain that you either have inside or you don't want to look at. But, you know, anything that's an adult, mature conversation versus avoiding some horrible thing like you're being fragile again, you know, adults just don't, we don't just let that go. Now, I'm going to suggest that immediately you need to start getting some counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he says, why are you getting counseling? Then you want to be honest about that. Honey, I've really been trying to share with you some of my hurts and struggles. And there's really been no desire to connect over that. So I'm seeing a counselor because I want some insight into how we ended up like this, why I hurt like I do, and why it doesn't seem to matter. Jill, Dave, what do you guys think?
She's got to start counseling because she can't do this alone. And what you're doing to deal with it is really counterproductive for you. It's going to destroy you. And you need some strategies and that will work with somebody like him.
Now, well, you know, he doesn't have to be this way. Jill, go ahead.
Well, I think you need somebody in your court so that you have the confidence, Layla. Because what he does, see, you know, we try to open up the space to have everybody have a voice and to be heard and to explore things. Someone like him, he's very afraid, and he tries to shut down the space. He does that by deflecting onto you, blaming you so that you're kind of tongue-tied, like, what do you say to that, mm-hmm. right? So he's shutting everything down to protect himself. Because deep down, he knows he's really not a good guy, that he's pulling the wool over everyone's eyes, and that you probably can see it. And so, he's protecting all that is not good within him. And so it's important, Layla, that you get the help so that you can be confident and speak in a way that is for you and not just colluding with shutting down the space. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. And just being honest, you know, at the very thought of my even telling him, you know, I'm going to counseling.
Don't
what would
tell
he
him.
Do? What would he do if you told him?
He would dismiss it. He would ridicule it.
Well,
why should that matter? What's wrong with
Look, let's say that we gave you the name of a counselor, and for 1 hour, you felt like a real human being with valid concerns, and you were affirmed, and you had some skills you were given. What would it matter if after week you go and things just get better and better? Would it be worth avoiding a negative comment for you to miss that great experience? Or would it be worse than something he's saying and you're just not telling us about that? Would he do something other than just
ridicule you,
minimize and ridicule you?
He has, in an argument recently, and I said, hey, if you were a guy, I would have just hit you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that, you know, so that's in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, when is it going to get to that point?
Before
it gets to that point.
If he did hit you, would you call the police?
I would leave. That, to me, is like an open door for me to finally be done.
So you would use it as an excuse to leave. I would just try to get you to think that through. And then, seems like to me,
I'd want to leave before I got hit.
I'd want to leave, not because I want to abandon this man, but because leaving is probably the only thing that's ever going to get him to take a look at himself, you know. Yeah. Don't you think?
Gosh. Yeah.
And that, I know that's really hard to do, because Layla, there's a part of you that is hoping that this is all a bad nightmare and that the person you loved is going to reappear, or that at some moment he will be reasonable. I think with going to counseling, you need to do that for you, okay? It's not about him and what he thinks, and you can't be looking for permission or acceptance or encouragement from him for that. Right? So just expect he's going to ridicule you for that. So what? Do you need the counseling?
Tell him you're going to deal with your fragileness.
I do.
Yeah. You say, I'm hurting and I don't know how to talk to you, so I'm going to get help for that.
Okay, so here's what I think you need to do. You need to, when you hang up from us, you need to make a phone call to that friend that told you.
She's a good friend.
She thought this was emotional abuse. And you need to tell her, I want to thank you for doing something that nobody else in my life loved me enough to do. And you having the courage to say that to me, well, I didn't waste that. I phoned a program. I talked to the people, and they told me how true it was. You were right on track, and they helped me realize what an amazing human being you are to take that risk and thank that person. And then I would hope you could say to her, to honor your courage telling me the truth, I'm going to call and I'm going to get an appointment with a counselor. I'm not going to tell my husband. And then after a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, my counselor will tell me how to tell him, how to invite him to come join us, all of that. But I'm going to go see somebody and I'm going to get some help. Because you know what? I'm waiting to be hit so I can leave him.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense, does it? Layla, doesn't make sense to say
insane.
No. Hey, listen, I really appreciate you letting us talk with you, because somebody might have heard a friend say what your friend said and think, man, she's crazy. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know me. But you took the next step, and I'm so proud of you for doing that. Now, I'm going to send you a copy of The Secrets Women Keep and Take Your Life Back. I hope that's going to be a blessing to you. I hope it's going to be something that will benefit you. Please hang on and let us see if we can find somebody that could help you. And, you know, maybe somebody's listening and you have a friend and you haven't had the courage to tell them the truth about their situation. Maybe this would be an encouragement to call them up and say, look, I've been meaning to say this, or I've needed to say this, but this is not good, what you're in. And be the one that, you know, the Bible tells us, hold back those staggering toward the slaughter. It says that. Maybe that would prevent them from being hurt, abandoned, betrayed. Maybe you'd help them before it becomes worse. I hope so. If you're a person who needs help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Counselors all over this country, we try to connect you with them. Second thing, finding freedom. Well, I'll tell you, we've got to get this lady to finding freedom. Mm-hmm. Layla, hold on. I want you to come to Finding Freedom. Because I think you would walk out of there with a different perspective about your life and him, future, all of that. So just hold on. You're listening to New Life Live. Tough problems require courage. If you don't have it, we can help you. Just call us. It's a pretty tough phone call, but on the other side is hope and help and healing. We'll be back right after.
On Friday night, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really loving the fact that you're with us here today. We'll go right back to the phones. And how about we talk with Sarah, Santa Barbara, California, KKLA, the great station there. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. Could be much better, but hanging in there.
You could be much better hanging in there.
Correct.
I've had a few days like that myself,
mm-hmm.
just so you know. So what's going on?
So, this is the issue. I'm married, have been married for about 3 years or so, been with the same partner for 9 years. We have 3 children. Our most recent addition is about 8 months. However, my husband is currently serving a lengthy prison sentence.
What did he do?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
What did he do to get that sentence?
It's pretty embarrassing, but he has 5 DUIs, and so now he's in prison for that. So he suffers from alcohol addiction. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much consumed his whole entire life to the point where he's obviously in prison now because of it.
Wow.
We are.
How did he end up in prison from it? Did he hit
the 5 DUIs?
Kill somebody?
After, yeah. What? No, it's after the fourth one, I believe it starts to hit the prison time, and then he does have a record, so that, you know, comes into consideration when the judge is giving him his sentence as well.
Yeah. Were you involved in Al-Anon this whole time?
I have not. Never have. I know a lot about it. To be quite honest with you, I have a degree in psychology, and I have a law degree.
Okay, so you have to tell us, just for everybody else's benefit, why you didn't go to Al-Anon, just so we can learn from that.
It was just a mixture of a lot of things. I was in law school, I have children, and I was embarrassed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think that's the big one, don't you? The embarrassment thing?
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. Sometimes you feel like you should know things, right? Because of all your degrees, and yet head knowledge is very different than when something is really close and hits close to home.
Okay, right. And don't you think there's a little bit of, why should I go to meetings? It's his problem.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So since he went to jail, and how long's his sentence?
It's about 25 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's he doing in jail? Is it having any kind of good impact or not?
I mean, not that I can see. I mean, you know, he obviously writes, and of course he's going to say anything and everything that anybody wants to hear. But actions speak louder than words. And, I really just don't know what to do at this point.
Well, what happened since he'd been in? Did he do something else?
Oh, I mean, he's done so many things. I've caught him, you know, on the internet plenty of times. He wasn't there to see my son born. And it wasn't because he was in prison. It was because he chose not to be there because he was just too busy drinking and doing his thing. Financially, he's never been there for me. I mean, there's been so many occasions where he's gotten paid and then he just doesn't come home for 5 or 6 days. And then when he does come home, obviously there's no money.
Right.
So everything falls on my shoulders.
Is he in recovery at all now?
No, he's just sitting in a prison cell.
So they don't force him to go to meetings?
No, they don't force him to do anything, not at this point.
Okay.
So what's the question for us?
I don't know whether or not I can walk away and be okay with it, because I just feel like we live two completely different lifestyles. You know, I'm going to be an attorney. He's in the prison system, and I just feel such a huge obligation to just abide by this covenant that I made in front of God and for the benefit of our children, but I don't know if I'm doing more harm than good, because I'm so unhappy because of all the disrespect that he's shown me, and, you know, my kids see that as well. And I'm even more so scared because now that I have a son, I don't want him to think that his dad's behavior is okay, and I don't want him to grow up that way.
Okay. First of all, I want to say this. You have really been through it. I don't want to minimize that at all. But you know that a lot of times, in us trying to do the right thing, we end up kind of contributing to the problem, right?
Right.
And you just did the best you could. But I would hate to see you run out on him after you've allowed him to be this way.
Right.
Well, because you've been together 9 years, and you only got married 3 years ago, so you knew about the problem.
So in this prison sentence, does he have, in the prison there, is there any kind of recovery thing going on that he could be part of?
You know, at this point, I'm not certain about that. I know that, you know, once he's released, that there might be a possibility where he can just be released directly into a program, and that might be helpful. But then that's a long, drawn-out process, and that's where I'm coming into all these questions. I'm questioning myself, like, am I willing to throw another year or 2 years away on hoping that this man is going to change, because, I mean, statistically, he's not going to change.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Let's give you the best possibility of him beating the statistics, and you don't have to wait a year to find out if it's going to be helpful, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Hold on, we'll do that right after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Jill Hubbard, author of The Secrets Women Keep and many other great Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Dave Stoop, author of Smart Love with his wife and a lot of other great books, co-editor of the Life Recovery Bible. We're talking with Sarah. Sarah, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Jill's got a couple of things to say, but I want to make a suggestion to you, okay?
Okay.
That you commit to me right now, or I'm coming over to your house, and I'm going to say...
tell everybody in the neighborhood.
Yeah, tell them. Okay, anyway, I'd love for you to say to yourself, okay, I've been married to an alcoholic for 9 years. I'm getting this... I'm going to be an attorney... I've studied psychology. I have to work through whatever it is that has kept me from going to an Al-Anon meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And you, why you I married someone knowing this.
Yeah, and you need to go to an Al-Anon meeting, okay? I mean, okay. Not just go to one, but you
You
need
really to go to at least six. And I know you have an eight-month-old. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah.
But you get a friend to watch your child. It's an hour and a half. Some have child care. Okay.
Yeah.
Or I think you can hold a baby, you know, if it's small enough. And you go because this is part of your training too.
Nothing will change unless you go.
Right.
Right. Okay. So you're in Santa Barbara. A lot of recovery things there. A lot of churches that are really big. There's just so many options you have. Okay. So you got to figure that out. Number two. I think you need to go and meet with him. Are you scheduled to go to the prison anytime soon?
Within a couple months, I've planned on taking a trip out there and just kind of talking to him face to face on what his plan was when he got out.
Okay. So I'm going to.
I don't think I can do that in a letter.
Okay. I'm going to suggest to you that you not go to ask him what he's going to do. I'm going to suggest that you tell him what he's going to do if he wants to stay married to you.
Oh,
sound
okay.
good, huh? You like that, huh?
And you can write it down so that you have it, you know, yeah. write it in a letter, but you're going to do it in person, face to face.
So it's going to say this,
okay.
that you want him to become accountable to the chaplain of the prison. Has he told you they have a chaplain?
Yes, they do.
Okay. You want him to be accountable to the prison chaplain. And that you want to have a connection with the prison chaplain, and you want him to tell the prison chaplain that the chaplain can tell you everything. Second thing is you want to say this to him. Whatever Bible study they have going, when it happens, you expect him to be there. And he will take his life recovery Bible that Steve and Dave are going to send him. He'll already have it because you're going to give us the address and we'll send it to the prison, paperback. We do it all the time. And he's going to be studying that at that Bible study. If they meet 7 times a week, you want him at all 7 Bible studies. What better thing does he have to do in prison? Second thing is he needs to get involved in the recovery program at that prison.
All of them have them.
Yeah. What prison is he in? Is it a big one or a little one?
No, well, he's in Wasco now at the reception center, but he should be transferring out within the next month, so I'll know where he's going.
Okay.
I don't know as of yet.
Well, I have visited Wasco, and they have these meetings.
Okay. So when Jill was in prison, she loved those Wasco meetings. Anyway, but look, here's the point. You, for whatever reason, you have not been directive. You have been passive. So now you're going to go and tell him that if anything's going to change, If he's going to beat the statistics, he's got to do radical stuff. And so you expect him to be in Bible study and recovery whenever they meet, and he's not in some work detail or something like that. And then when he says, I can't do it, it's too tough, then you say, well, thank you for giving me the answer right up front. And then you say, I'll give you 7 days to change your mind and get involved. Or I'm filing for divorce. This is what could have been done 9 years ago when it surfaced, or 5 years ago. If he has any chance of recovery, he'll do it while he's in prison and you're on the outside and you can file and change his life completely forever. As long as he thinks you're just going to be sitting there willing to be an enabler when he gets out, he won't change. Got it?
Right. Okay,
that's my suggestion to you.
Now, I do have one other question,
and
I'll make it brief. I don't know if it's the devil coming in or what it is, but within the last 2 months, I've just had people just falling into my lap and just giving me these signs of, okay, well, I can have such a better life if I was with this person or this person. And believe me, this doesn't happen often, but it's just coming and coming and coming. And so I don't know if it's a distraction to get him out of my mind and get these thoughts of, okay, well, maybe this can work, or it's just, I don't know what it is.
Well, you're married to him. You're married to him.
I'm married to him.
You've enabled a problem to exist that has ended up he's in prison. So is that Jesus sending you temptation, or is that Satan?
The devil,
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course. And we're telling you something that actually might change things for the good, and because we have all these people saying, I have a marriage I never dreamed I could have because he finally got help.
I mean, but it'll be clear, Sarah. It'll be clear instead of confusing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
God is not the author of confusion, right? So things that are confusing and clouding and making you feel kind of self-righteous and deserving, that's not of God. But what will be clear is he's either going to step up and get with the program now because he knows that this is the absolute end, or you're going to walk away.
Right.
And it's based on behavior, not on promises or anything else.
That's right.
Right. Okay, well, thank you so much for your help. I do appreciate it.
I want you to hold on. I want to get his address, and we're going to get him this Bible. I really hope that something we've said has made some kind of difference here because, man, this could be the beginning of a whole new life for you. All right, let's go to Sue from Springfield, Virginia, WAVA. Hi, what's going on?
Hi. I am calling because my husband left our home abruptly. We've been married for almost 24 years. We have 6 children. And he came home one day. He said he wasn't in love. He never loved me, never should have married me. Mm-hmm. And he just left. He didn't tell the children or anything. So okay. Since and that so happened, of course.
Do you know the person that he's having the affair with, or is it a total stranger or what?
Well, at first I didn't believe that there was an affair, but I thought maybe he was on drugs. He was acting so differently. Or
well, he is on drugs.
He's on the drug.
It's called oxytocin.
It's called an affair.
No, it's not oxytocin. It's Lisa or Betty or one of those drugs. Yeah.
As it turns out, I had I went to where he said he was staying, and I feel silly, but he wasn't there, and one thing led to another, and it's a person that he had an affair with 2 years ago that he worked with. There's a great disparity in income and everything. So I've been angry. He doesn't know that I know, and I've been angry just with him, but just having
What's the
to
question?
Deal with my children.
Mm-hmm. What's the question?
My question is, I felt that when the affair happened, I felt so clearly that God said that my marriage would work out. Mm-hmm. And now this has happened. So I'm just having a faith situation. And there are some friends that stand with me in that. But then there's other people, even one minister who said, you put that in your head. So as I was listening to the program today, I hear people all the time, even ministers, God told me to go to this scripture, or God said this, and we accept that. But in this situation, when it looks so bleak and dark, besides a few friends that are really, really faithful with me, it's like everybody just says, oh, yeah, you put that in your head, or God's not going to do it. He has free will. And it just really troubles me.
Okay, so the question for us is what?
How do you discern when, how do you feel about that when people call and they say, well, I felt that God said this or God said that? How do you discern? And in this case, I feel so strongly about it, but it's hard. Like when you go to counselors or even pastors, they say, oh, well, God didn't tell you that, or maybe you were wrong, or maybe that's not what God meant, or I'm trying to say?
Well, yeah, but so I think you're wanting to know the outcome, because that gives you a better sense of control and of then knowing what to do. And God doesn't always give us the outcome. We're supposed to trust and surrender to Him in the midst of it, if He gives us the outcome we want.
And then we're supposed to do our part.
Right.
So what God didn't tell you was, this marriage can be saved. You're going to talk to some people how to make that happen. And the answer is going to be whether or not you follow directions.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you this. Mm-hmm. I don't think God told you it's going to get better and all you have to do is nothing. It's not the God I know. It's going to take some pain.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. They'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. It's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror.
matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artiburn here, and we're talking with Sue, whose husband is not faithful. Jill, you've
got
some...
So, Sue, I think it makes complete sense that you would think, well, why wouldn't God want to save the marriage and have us be a great witness and share with people? Of course. So that's what we all would want. But that's not really, I think, you're focusing in the wrong direction here. And again, as I said before the break, I think it's about, you know, wanting to feel some sense of control because mm-hmm. this feels terribly out of control. He had an affair 2 years ago, and now he's back in an affair. You have 6 kids in 24 years. Okay, that's a lot of investment on your part to just think that you have to walk away. So I think it's important to be very clear with him that there cannot be three of you in this marriage.
No, he doesn't want to come back.
Oh, he doesn't want to come back.
He says, I want a divorce as quick as possible. I've been asleep. I've been in a coma. And
yeah, but you haven't even told him you know he's having an affair.
No, he says he's alone thinking.
Well, you have to tell him.
He's a liar.
You have to tell him.
He's
tell him
liar,
you know the truth. And then you go ahead and begin the process of divorce, because the only way you're going to save the marriage is going to be willing to lose it, because it's going to take that to wake him up to what the reality is. And he's going to have to know that you know the truth. And he'll deny it. I've had husbands deny even mm-hmm. photographs of them leaving a motel with the woman,
right,
saying, that's not me, but don't worry about it. He just needs to know that you know.
And Sue, I might go meet with an attorney first before you tell him.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That you feel like you have your ducks in a row. And this is the thing. You have to deal with reality. You have to walk forward in reality while at the same time praying for the miracle.
All
okay,
right.
So we're not giving up hope. But you're not going to just sit around and kind of have him
wait.
Yeah, and wait, hoping he'll change his mind, because that's just giving him time to ease out of the marriage, right? And you're not going to do this as quick as possible, because we all know that the legal system moves at a snail's pace.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you're going to...
children.
Yes?
So in that, if I go through with it, he hasn't talked to the three older children in the entire time. It's been about 6 months. Because they don't want to talk to him.
Okay.
And he said he doesn't want to push him. So I guess I didn't want to also do anything, because I felt like I wanted everybody to have time to deal with it.
No.
Well, that's
no.
just that's
time
kind
is
of a little
on your
excuse
side.
It. Now, let me just say this. Having heard what you've had to say, most likely this was not God telling you what was going to happen. It was you feeling what you wanted to feel.
Right.
Because that's more often what we call God speaking to us. And I'm saying that having just had a meeting with a man that I 100% know God spoke to him personally, directly. So I'm a believer in direct contact with God. But hearing the things that you've said, this is a question not of what did God say. It's what am I willing to do? Mm-hmm. And how is this man going
to
respond? And if you do what
you
if you do what you need to do, and he doesn't respond, because you know God's not going to force somebody to do something, then you can walk away saying, "I did my part to make the best of it." I hope that's helpful. I'm really sorry for what you're going through, but you need to get in that Restore conference and get that heart of yours healed as soon
right.
as
and
possible.
Just to be clear, Sue, you know, this is not going to thwart what God wants to do. So if that is from God, God's going to do what he wants to do. But in the meantime, you have to look at the reality.
Yeah, that's right.
Does that make sense?
Because that's going to help.
That's right.
If anything,
that's going to give you more control.
All right. Forgiving what you'll never forget and take your life back coming your way. Let's go to Carrie. I don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get this final call in. Hi, Carrie from Kent, Washington.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Okay, what's the question?
The question's about my youngest grandson, who's a quick story. My son's an addict. He's been an addict for years and doesn't seem to be able to get victory in life. And he met a young lady 6 years ago, and they ended up with a child. This young lady was fleeing a bad situation, ended up taking off for a year and a half, and resurfaced and contacted my son, who still wasn't doing well. Anyway, my wife got wind of it, rushed to meet the baby, who's a year and a half, and ended up bringing the child and the mom home.
Okay.
So she's got a boyfriend at this time. She's not doing well either, and she ends up pregnant again. And the boyfriend disappears, and now we have mom, the daughter, and a new baby.
Okay. So what's the question for us? Because I'm out of time.
Baby is 3 years old and calls my son dad, who's really not his dad. And I'm a little concerned. Is that something we should deal with now or later in life? Or
is your son going to, do you think, find help and be willing to take on the role of dad for this little boy?
He definitely wants to be dad. He's actually a good dad when he can stay clean, but
whoever
it's been long struggle.
Yeah. Well, let's try to help you guys help him get his act together. I wouldn't be telling this little boy who his biological sperm donor male in his life is, especially if there is a chance that your son can literally be what's so much more important, the dad.
Okay. Okay.
So I would be having a talk with my son about, I'm going to do everything I can to never enable your problem and to get the help that you need. Because there's a little boy here that needs a dad. He doesn't need to be told, by the way, this guy over here, he's not your biological father.
He's not going to understand that at this age.
And I don't want to be saying to him, he's not your biological father, and he doesn't even care enough about you that he's going to be a good, healthy father. So you want to motivate your son to get the help that he needs.
And you're as much of a dad in the situation as your son, too, being the grandfather.
Wish we had more time.
I'm grandpa, and we're very, very close.
Good. Just love on that boy. And there'll be a time when he starts asking more questions, and that's when you need to visit it.
Yeah, I'm all for, you know, kids knowing the reality as soon as possible about, you know, origin and all that kind of stuff. But in this case, let's ask your son to step up to the plate, and so that he never has to say, I'm not your dad. He's saying, I'm your dad. There was another guy that was the contributor of the DNA. Mm-hmm. But, man, I'm the guy that loves you, and you can see it. All right. Really glad that you called. Hey, you know what? We can't do this without your help. And one of the most wonderful ways that you could help us is to join Club New Life right now. Would you think about doing it? I mean, what a great time to invest in a ministry that wants to restore and resurrect and recover lives to what God intended. If you'll do it, if you'll say, I'll support you at $30 a month, I've got 8 books in the Arterburn Wellness series that I'm going to send you. Everything from understanding and loving a person with chemical dependency, sex addiction, attention deficit disorder, borderline person, a narcissist. All of those are in there. Or you could say, give me the flash drive with the 71 teachings, or send me the flash drive with those videos from Mylon and Kay. And we just want to say thanks. And a gift of any amount, we send you Finding Peace or 100 Days of Peace. Call us. Help us. We love you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.